My guest is Aretta Zula. She is the first violin of the Juilliard String Quartet, and I'm so excited to preview their upcoming concert for the Fontana series with her. It's great to have you on the line, Aretta.
Thank you so much for having me. My pleasure.
The Juilliard String Quartet was founded in 1946 by members of the faculty at the Juilliard School in New York City. Does that mean you, too, are also teaching at the Juilliard?
That's right. I am teaching at the Juilliard School. I started as a full-time professor just this year as I joined the quartet, but I was affiliated with the Juilliard School. I was teaching there in the pre-college division as well as being Itzhak Perlman's teaching assistant there for the past couple of years. So, but now I am a full-time faculty thanks to this new position.
You just dropped one of the biggest names in violin playing and a beloved figure, Itzhak Perlman. So you've had the chance to work with him for some time then.
He was my teacher for quite a long time. Almost a decade, actually. So yes, I was lucky enough to have his presence in my life for quite a while in the most important formative years, I would say. So lucky me.
Now, he went and traveled the world as a soloist, but you are part of a group of four. What is your favorite thing about being in a string quartet?
Oh, wow. Well, I just love the team spirit. I always have, even when I was young. I was very much into volleyball when I was much younger, before I picked the violin as my profession. And I just remember always having this sort of enthusiasm for team things, team sports, team everything. So, and my first interaction with string quartet was at the Perlman music program when I was 14. And I just fell in love with that concept, the concept of, you know, really pinpointing your exact idea so that you can share it with the others and then negotiate it with the others so that you're all sort of, I love that process. I love that process.
That feeling of together we are better than as individuals.
Yes, exactly. And if you're with the right people, I love sort of being inspired by things around me, by people around me. And as much as I loved playing solo, it didn't quite give that to me. I always have to be the initiator of everything, you know. And I just the spontaneity of having three other people on stage with you every concert, even if you're playing the same rep as the night before, will for sure be different because of the other three people and the, you know, the momentary sort of inspiration. So I love that.
Now, during the time you were learning and then teaching at the Juilliard School, did you get to know any of the former members of this quartet personally, or were they examples to you in any way?
Of course they were examples. You know, as a student at the Juilliard School, you can't really not know about the Juilliard Quartet. You can't. They're everywhere. They are the coaches that most of us looked for. You know, we would run to make sure that this semester we get coachings with one of those members so that they, you know, so that their studios don't get filled up. But of course I did. I studied chamber music string quartets, actually, with Joel Smirnoff my first 3 years at the Juilliard School as a bachelor. And then I studied again string quartets. As you can tell, I was very much into string quartets. After that, I started with Bobby Mann, who was, of course, the founder of Juilliard String Quartet. So for about 3 years for my master's and my senior year of bachelor's. So, yeah, I did. I did have them. They were a big inspiration of the whole chamber music experience at the Juilliard School.
That is so nice for us to hear. You know, like any long-lasting quartet, you hope that traditions and memories carry over. And it sounds like you were able to pick up some of that and carry on with a real appreciation of the work that had happened before.
Yes, luckily I did. I really did. And, you know, the quartet itself, no matter who the members are in the moment, any change that happens in personnel, they make sure to spread it out so that each member gets in and gets immersed into the Juilliard Quartet sort of culture, you know. So that's definitely part of the quartet's mentality in that way. Luckily, I got that sort of experience before I even joined the quartet. So, you know, just from them being my teachers as I was growing up at Juilliard.
Exactly. The concert is this Saturday at 7:30 p.m. in the Dalton Center Recital Hall. That's a concert hall on the campus of Western Michigan University. Our station is also on the campus. Aretta, you will be performing with the other three members, music of Haydn, Bartok, and Beethoven. Could we start with Bartok? I know that the Juilliard was the very first group to record these famous six quartets.
That's right. And honestly, I love those first recordings so much. Still to this day, I will always go back and listen to those. Funnily enough, this is my first year with a quartet. And I just found out a couple of months ago that during Bobby Mann's first year of creating this quartet in 1946, Bartok 3 was actually part of their program.
The very first year. Oh, my.
That's his very first year. So I sort of like to think in the back of my mind that maybe, you know, I'm maybe just going through the same kind of process that he did, you know, back then. But they're such historic performances, and they're the recordings that, you know, all students, we all sort of grew up with those recordings and learned from them. So it's a big deal.
Is your part all marked up by previous players?
Not at all. Not at all. We come in with new parts each time. And especially when there's a member change, I think they make sure to do that just to, you know, make sure you're establishing what the voice is now, you know. And, you know, it's nice that if I wanted to, I could go and look at some Bobby Mann fingerings and bowings and things like that. And most of the time, some really smart bowings, especially, there's one specific bowing in the Beethoven 59-2, the third movement, that did get passed down from Bobby, which is, it's just such a smart bowing. There's a lot of oppos. So things like that they're very nice and fun to have. But most of the time, we just try to figure it out with the four voices and four, you know, musical personalities that are there in the moment to create something new and fresh.
A clean slate, but you have the resources if you want to find out.
Exactly.
That's great.
Exactly. Yeah.
In this particular quartet of Bartok, I know one of the features of his music sometimes is called night music. Would that be one of the movements in this quartet?
Night music? Is that what you said?
Yeah, night music or like nocturnal music.
Yeah, I'm not sure that this quartet is after that specifically. This is a pretty intense quartet. It's only 15 minutes. This is by far his shortest piece, his shortest string quartet. But it is just so dense, so condensed. It's 15 minutes packed with action. So it's not, I wouldn't say necessarily night music. There's a lot of sort of singing and dancing and human factors in this, and raw and so rhythmic, and it ends with this coda that's sort of like a dance to the death in a way. But yeah, it's quite an intense piece.
You must spend maybe more time unpacking the Bartok than the more straightforward Haydn, for example.
Well, you know, each one has its challenges. You know, Haydn, you said it, you know, it's on the lighter side, but at the same time, that just like in a Mozart quartet, that gives you nowhere to sort of hide from, you know? So things just have to be just so. And energetic, and you have to sort of find the features that each composer is trying to bring out in the pieces, and just to go from there. But it doesn't necessarily mean that one is easier from the other, you know?
So Ludwig van Beethoven's Opus 59 number 2 is one of the so-called Razumovsky quartets, and that's from his middle period. He was well established, but still searching and experimenting as well.
Yes, that's exactly it. And he's not necessarily showing off anymore, but he's definitely experimenting. You know, the 18s are very much show-offy sort of pieces, which, you know, it makes sense. He was young. He had Haydn to sort of live up to with these pieces. But yeah, this is his so-called heroic period. And like you said, the Razumovsky. So each quartet of the 59s has a Russian theme. And so does this one. It's in the third movement. It's a dancey, lively theme. I like to sort of call this piece, every time I play it, I feel like I'm climbing a mountain somehow, because each movement is just a little bit harder than the one that just came right before it, which says a lot because that first movement is just so difficult. In any case, it has an incredible slow movement. It is just out of this world. So touching, so ethereal and heavenly, yet it has such human tragic moments in it. It's one of my favorite movements to play, really. It's long. It's about maybe 12 minutes, I want to say, that movement on its own. But it's just so worth it. Every note is just unbelievable. And it ends with a very fun movement, you know, sort of happy-go-lucky kind of dance that is heard a gajillion times throughout the movement. And I feel like that's a joke in itself somehow, because he doesn't really do that. Anyway, it's a really fun piece. It's a really fun piece. Hard for us to do. It's dense again. But it's much longer. It's dense in a different way than the Bartok, and it's much longer than the Bartok. It's about 40 minutes long, but it's just really, really fun to play.
And it goes by so swiftly. There's so much to enjoy throughout.
That's exactly it. There's so much to enjoy that it just goes by. 40 minutes just go by like that. And it's really Beethoven at its best. So
again, the concert is at 7:30 on Saturday in the Dalton Center Recital Hall. And Aretta, I would like to look forward a little bit to maybe later this spring or summer, when all of you get together and decide what pieces to put on your next tour. Do you think you'll be auditioning brand new pieces? Is that something that Juilliard likes to do as well? Look at new composers?
Yes, of course we do. And we're carrying a new composer this season as well. He's a young, very charismatic, imaginative young composer. His name is Lambert Beecher. We're playing his piece this season as well. Not in Fontana, unfortunately, but, you know, maybe next time. Who knows? So we do like to do that. That's definitely part of the Juilliard Quartet's DNA. You know, they always commission new composers. They always looked for the future, like you said. And you have to do that. I think any musician really has to do that, because you have to create a legacy, you know, that looks into the future and not just the past. Otherwise, we're done. Classical music is done if all we do is the past. So we do have a commission for 2 seasons from now, actually, not next season. We're taking next season off from commissioning, since we just had this season, we just had a commission. And I can't really say, I can't talk much about it just yet, because the announcement hasn't gone out yet. But it's definitely, it's a very exciting program, and we're absolutely thrilled with the concept of the commission, as well as the composer. But you'll find out soon.
Okay. You know, I do preview a lot of new music concerts since the faculty at Western Michigan University here are very, very interested in the way you can create electroacoustic soundscapes with instruments and electronics. And another composer, she uses her own special notation. So it seems like if you are a group like the Juilliard and looking at new music, sometimes you might open a manuscript and not really be sure how to play it.
Yes, that's true. It does happen. But, you know, luckily, usually when you get a new piece like that, the composer is still alive. So you could ask any questions you have, you know, everyone is a phone call or an email away. So that's the good part. But yes, you do. Sometimes it's the thing is that whenever we pick a composer, we do study his or her music, and we do listen to all the things that they've composed, and, you know, try to sort of pick the composer from their own artistic productions, you know, the things that they have produced in the past. So not too many times do you have a real intent surprise like that, you know.
Yeah. So you look for a viewpoint, someone's voice that by looking at all their pieces. Yeah.
Exactly. And of course, there's sometimes that even the composer sort of surprises themselves with what came out mm-hmm. for that. And it's not like we go in with requests or anything like that. We do leave the artistic part of the project up to the composer, but we definitely do study the language of each before we pick them.
Well, I think we have to leave it there for now, Aretta, and I'm really glad to have spent a little time with you talking about the Juilliard String Quartet's performance in Kalamazoo. Thank you so much.
Thank you so much for having me. It was really fun.